Ever get that feeling looking at a painting and I don't know, it just kind of hits you in the gut?
Right, like a punch to the gut.
That's Goya's 3rd of May, 1808 for you.
Absolutely. It's more than just a famous painting. It's like this snapshot of raw emotion. And that's what we're diving into today.
Yeah, going deeper than just the surface.
Way deeper.
This painting hangs in Madrid's Museo del Prado. But why? Why does this one painting still resonate? I mean, after all these centuries?
It's all about the story, right?
Yeah.
So picture this. It's 1808. You've got Napoleon, this emperor with, well, some ambition, to say the least. And he's got his eyes set on Spain.
Oh boy, Spain under Napoleon. What could go wrong?
Huh. Well, the Spanish people, they weren't exactly thrilled about this whole invasion thing.
I'd imagine not.
They resisted. Big time. And a big part of that, a turning point really, was the Dos de Mayo uprising on May 2nd.
Wait, so everyday people just rose up against Napoleon's army?
Just picture it, regular people, armed with whatever they could get their hands on, facing down these French troops who were trying to, get this, remove their monarchy.
Wow, and Goya actually painted this uprising, right? It's called the 2nd of May, 1808.
You got it. The 2nd of May, that one captures the energy, the frenzy, the chaos of that day. But it's the 3rd of May that shows you the real cost of defiance.
Because it's not a celebration, is it? This isn't some heroic battle scene. It's the aftermath.
Yeah, it's brutal. The execution of Spanish civilians by the French. Cold-blooded.
And Goya doesn't shy away from that. Not at all. In fact, he puts it right in your face.
He's breaking the mold. You know, traditional war art, it was all about heroes and glory. Goya throws that out the window. He gives us the
The
truth.
really, really ugly truth.
He's forcing us to see it. You've
Yeah.
got two groups in the painting. The firing squad on one side, faceless, like machines, just cold, calculated force. And on the other side, the victims, lit by this single lantern.
Oh, yeah. That lantern light is something else. It's like he's shining a spotlight on their vulnerability, you know?
Exactly. And it's so different from, say, religious art, where light usually represents something divine or hopeful.
Right, like a light from heaven. But here, it's just highlighting the horror.
It's intentional. Goya is saying, hey, there's no divine intervention here. No one's coming to save the day.
This is reality.
He said,
And then there's that central figure. Oh, man, the one bathed in the lantern light, arms outstretched, like he's pleading for his life. It's hard not to think of the crucifixion.
it's brilliant, isn't it? The way Goya uses this familiar religious image, Christ on the cross, but gives it a completely different meaning. This man, he's not looking to heaven for help. He's looking right at the soldiers, at us, humanity, making us ask the question, where's the mercy?
Right. Like, is there any humanity left in this moment?
Exactly. And he's really challenging our ideas about heroism here. I mean, what does it even mean in the face of this kind of violence? Senseless.
And for Goya, this wasn't just some abstract idea. He lived through this crazy time in Spain.
Absolutely. This was personal. And we get to see even more of that personal response in his Disasters of War print series. It's like a window into how he felt about the occupation, the French occupation.
So like his visual diary almost.
Exactly. Raw, unfiltered, no punches pulled. And you can really see a connection between the intensity of those prints and the 3rd of May. Take No se puede mirar, for example. There's this figure, right? And they're shielding their eyes, like they can't even bear to look at whatever horror is unfolding.
Yeah, I remember that one. It's like that feeling of helplessness.
Exactly. And Goya's telling us we can't look away. We can't pretend this isn't happening. We have to face it.
Just like that figure in No se puede mirar.
Right. And then there's Why No Hay Remedio. It's another print. And it's eerie how much it foreshadows the 3rd of May. You see the firing squad, but they're in the distance, just silhouettes.
And it's that detachment, isn't it? The way Goya makes the executioners anonymous, just like in the 3rd of May, those soldiers, they have no faces, no individuality.
Exactly. So it's not just a reaction to the war. It's like Goya's wrestling with these ideas, these emotions in these prints, and they build up to the 3rd of May.
It's like he's using those prints to figure it out, to find the way to express what he needs to express.
Yeah, exactly. He's trying things out, composition, light, shadow, how to get that rawness, that emotional weight of war onto the canvas, and then bam, it all comes together in the 3rd of May.
You can almost feel the energy in those brush strokes, you know? Bold, deliberate. And he uses this really limited color palette. But it doesn't feel limited at all, does it? It's like it makes it even more intense somehow.
It's so different from what other artists were doing at the time. They were romanticizing war,
Yeah.
making it all pretty and heroic.
And Goya's like, nope, here's the truth. Deal with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Goya shows us the real cost, the emotional cost, the human cost, the stuff nobody wants to talk about.
You'd think everyone would respond to this painting the same way. Like, how could you not be moved by it, by its power, its message?
And yet, when it was first shown,
it didn't exactly make a big splash, did it?
Let's just say it wasn't exactly met with open arms.
People weren't ready for it.
Back then, art was supposed to inspire you, make you feel patriotic, not make you feel like you were staring into the, you know, the depths of human cruelty.
So Goya's painting, it was just too real, too raw.
It was a revolution. He was challenging the rules, the whole idea of what art should be. People weren't ready for that.
You know what they say, revolutions, they shake things up. And Goya's work, it definitely didn't go unnoticed.
Not at all. He inspired other artists. You can see Goya's influence all over art history. Take Manet, for instance, his painting, The Execution of Emperor Maximilian. It's like he took Goya's painting and made his own version.
He wasn't even subtle about it, was he?
Not really, but it works, doesn't it? The composition, the light, the emotion, it's all there.
Manet saw something in Goya's work, a new way to portray violence, I guess, to really make people see the consequences.
Exactly. And he wasn't the only one. What about Picasso? His Guernica. It's hard not to see the similarities, you know?
It's like a spiritual successor to the 3rd of May, right?
Right.
I mean, the chaos, the innocent victims.
They both capture that same horror, that raw emotion. Goya and Picasso, they both use their art to show the world the truth about war. The human cost, no sugarcoating.
And isn't that what makes a piece of art truly great? When it speaks across generations, when it keeps those important, even if they're difficult, conversations going.
Exactly. Goya's The 3rd of May, it's more than just a painting. It's a mirror, reflecting back at us the worst of humanity. But it's also, I think, a reminder that we can do better, that we need to be outraged by injustice, that we have to remember.
It's a call to action, even after all these years.
Right. And looking at this painting today, I can't help but wonder, what would Goya think of our world?
It's something to think about, isn't it? We're still fighting wars. We're still surrounded by violence.
Would he be disappointed? Angry? Or would he just pick up his brush and try to make us feel something? To make us see?
That's Goya for you. Always leaving us with more questions than answers. But hey, that's what makes this whole art thing so interesting, right?
Exactly. It makes you think. And that's never a bad thing.